Boomer and Warner in the Morning continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Brought to you by Doug Lacey's Basement Systems. Eliminate the extra cost and discomfort of cold floors and rooms with a chill. Get your crawl space properly sealed and insulated. Text cold to 393939. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Good Thursday morning. The Calgary Flames waking up with another couple points today in the old standings. 3-2 last night, victorious in San Jose. It is Ryan Pinner alongside Peter Klein and Jason DeForest as we get you started on Boomer and Warner in the morning. Mr. Klein twice this week with, in the last week, tight turnarounds.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently some sort of a team photo.
Yes.
Kept you at the Dome till 11, and you were back here before 4, I would think.
Yeah, it was the military appreciation night down at the Dome. So, yes, the Flames do a wonderful job with that. Part of it is taking a picture with all of the servicemen and women who show up to the game.
Sure.
Which is, again, a wonderful thing. But when you're trying to get the hell out of the Dome, it doesn't speed up the process all that much. So I got into my car to leave the Dome at 10:56 last night.
Wee.
And then back here for 4 o'clock this morning.
Should have just come here, and I don't know if you have a key to Kirsch's office. Just sleep under his desk.
Yeah, just nap in here.
Would have been the move.
I think there's a couch over by Breakfast Television.
Oh, there is too.
Yeah.
Because they've got guests that have to go on, and they have to schmooze them, and it's like with the equivalent of what they call a green room, I believe.
Yes.
Like, oh, the talent's here. Let's usher them to the green room and make sure their makeup's right. They got to get their TV wigs on, Jay. They do that on the couch over there. So that's where you could have slept.
I could have. Should have.
What are you doing?
I know. Missed that. We have a shower here. I could have done that.
Yeah, it's the morning shower.
I don't feel like I go in that shower.
Don't need to shower.
Weird.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
Sure, some things have happened in that shower. I don't know that showering is one of them.
Weird public bathroom shower.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I know the type of people who work here.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to be...
Like us.
Yeah.
You don't want to shower there. No, heck no. Jeez. Well, what a game last night.
Matthew Tkachuk, that was a fun one, hey?
Michael Backlund and Michael Frolik.
It was in his gut, and then it was in his pants, and then it was in our bench.
Regardless of what happened yesterday, that was my favorite thing.
That drop there?
Well, not,
I'm
no,
sure
not
he
the
could
drop.
Have handed it back, but if you know the kid, he's not going to hand it back.
Just that whole exchange where they get tied up along the boards, Tkachuk takes Burns' stick, and like, no, I'm keeping this. Meh.
Or just, hey, big scary guy, screw you, this is mine now. See ya.
He brought Brett Burns' stick onto the bench.
I don't know.
It was funny. Kind of like that, yeah. Close.
Yeah.
Line's been unbelievable. It was funny. I was sitting behind the Flames net last night. Oh, yeah. Do we have some laughs on the file, Jay? Thanks. And every time that line came over the board, you're like, oh, here's some action.
Yeah.
And then you just have to wait for 2 shifts from some lines that didn't have 11, 67, and 19. And then they'd be back on again.
Right.
And there were the chances again.
Yeah. And it really did feel like every time they were on the ice, something was happening. And we've kind of come to expect that from this group. But they were, I thought, exceptional last night.
It's funny. The context of, you know, Tkachuk being so strong. And we heard Gullison talk about what surprised him about Tkachuk this year. Competitiveness, hockey IQ, all that stuff. But we talked to Elliot either last Friday or this Monday. I don't remember which time we chatted, but he said the Flames were working on a massive shuffling of the deck in terms of a complex deal that would see some teams move up, others move down, and knowing that Columbus wanted Pierre-Luc Dubois, eventually when that became public-ish for other GMs, everything stood pat, but essentially the Oilers are going to try to move up, the Flames are going to try to move up, Columbus would move down. At least that's what Elliot had, or something around that. But they wanted Tkachuk badly because they thought he'd be good. But I don't know if anyone thought he'd be this good this early.
No, and I've been blown away by how good he is. Like Gullison said yesterday, you can see that he thinks the game a little. Like, I feel like he kind of got a reputation of just someone who's going to run around and bounce into a bunch of things.
Yes.
And, oh, hey, look, the puck's going to go into the net, too. But he's a little more calculated than that. And part of that could be playing with Backlund for a leak. I mean, that has to help, right?
Doesn't hurt.
No, he's been phenomenal this season.
Yeah, and I was looking. 2 years ago, Backlund centered a line with David Jones and Lance Bulma. Bulma scored a career-high 16, and Jones isn't in the league anymore. Like, safe to say, if you've got 11 as your center, no matter what anyone else in this program says about 11, your production's going to be very good.
Right. Because
he puts you in positions to be successful. I don't think there's certainly, like, he's not incredibly physical. He's not going to run anyone through the boards. I don't think he's a rah-rah follow-me-into-war guy. But you cannot look past what is now a massive body of work of whoever gets to play on his wing having career years.
And he was someone who... Well, it was a very divisive topic, especially on this radio station of Michael Backlund.
It was past tense.
Yes. I feel like I don't know what the other side would be now. You know, like
what can you deny?
I don't know.
Like, oh, so he's got a puppy dog. Okay. Well, I guess what?
He's
been their best player this year.
By a mile. Yeah. And 200-foot game. And also, not to get too far into it, but starts a lot of his shifts in the defensive zone and ends
against other teams' top lines.
Ends a lot of his shifts in the offensive zone.
Yeah, and I'm less on zone starts than I am against quality competition, because in the course of a shift, you might have a few of those zone changes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's harder to start in your own end, but to me, if you're starting in your own zone against a fourth line, including a guy in his first NHL game,
yeah,
that's, you know, I'm not too worried about it so much as if all night you're up against Pavelski, Thornton, mm-hmm. And in the case of last night, Timo Meier, whatever the case may be, that's what Backlund does every night. He's got the top line of other teams.
No, absolutely.
So to produce while you're doing that and holding other star players in check, I mean, it's to the point now, you can't, no matter how much you disliked or didn't want to think this was happening, you can't avoid it now. He's been excellent. No one scored more goals for this team in the year of 2016.
Wow.
And for all the praise that Monahan and Gaudreau deserved and have gotten, he scored more. That's kind of what the sport's about, outscoring the opponent.
No,
that's a valuable player, and he's got one more year left on what is an incredible sweetheart of a team-friendly deal.
That's going to be interesting.
It is.
Because now...
It's a ways away, and it's probably like not the time to try to break down the numbers, because there's so much runway left before this thing ends. But, you know, it's... there's no question he's been better than Monahan, so can he ask for Monahan money? I mean, that's probably going to be the tap dance, right? And I don't think that will happen, but it's why, if you're a really shrewd agent, if you're Scott Boras of the hockey world, why wouldn't you try?
Yeah.
But it's a ways away, so we don't have to sweat that, I suppose. As for the San Jose Sharks, their backup looked good until he didn't. Aaron Dell of Airdrie, we didn't like that last one, I would think, if you were a goaltender or a... critique of goaltending.
Yeah, that was a rough one. Look good the rest of the night, but
yes,
that one just...
No, some big saves and had to deal with a lot of traffic at times as the Flames eventually got things going in the second period. Other things I noted, how in the world, when you're on a power play with like 15 seconds left, do you allow a clean breakaway when a team is down by one and all they're going to try to do is score a goal?
Yeah, all alone from the blue line in.
What was happening there? I mean, that's
brutal.
It was absolutely... insane that could happen. And you could see they all, after the horn goes off and they win, they all get together. And Gio had this look on his face like, whoo, we just dodged a major bullet.
Yeah.
The only thing they had to do for 15 seconds was hold the Sharks off the board, and they allowed a clean, bleeping breakaway. What? Here's how it sounded.
Mikhail Bodker with 4 goals in 2 games.
Sorry, that's the other Bodker chance. Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Out in front to Tkachuk, who turns into the far corner, stops, protects the puck from Burns, and now loses it. Vlasic, a breakaway pass to Bodker. Bodker in, stopped by Johnson with 7 seconds left. What a blocker save! A game saver!
Yeah, a game saver that never should have happened.
Yeah.
I don't care if you back up and have 4 or 5 guys putting a wall around your net with 15 seconds left. That's a better strategy than what we saw. How do you lose that guy? My goodness.
Yeah, that's something that just cannot happen. And I thought that Johnson was kind of fighting it all night, but he came up with 2 huge saves in the last 5.5 minutes.
He was doing a little Kariramo breakdancing earlier.
A little bit.
Spinning around, lost the stick a few times, but got the job done. And I think there's quite the body of work he's built in Calgary. The hometown boys looked... pretty darn solid all year. It's 6:11. We'll step aside. Rhett Warner's in the building. We'll come back with his thoughts. Flames win 3-2. It's a Thursday. Get your crystal balls out. We have to do our sports luck picks this morning with the divisional weekend upon us. New England back in action. Atlanta back in action. Kansas City at home. Give us some weather. That'll be some TV. And, of course, the other home team, just the best record in the regular season. Dem Cowboys.
Yeah, against maybe the hottest team in the NFL.
not a bad weekend, and I would expect the average margin of victory won't be 19 points this weekend.
I hope not.
Yeah.
Unless New England wins by like 60.
They can win by 60, and maybe everyone else's sports luck tie, and we could live with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
3 or 4 we'll take. 611, Sports at 960, The Fan.
Boomer and Warner in the morning. Brought to you by Doug Lacey's Basement Systems. Eliminate the extra cost and discomfort of cold floors and rooms with a chill. Get your crawl space properly sealed and insulated. Text cold to 393939. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Good Thursday morning. Got some interesting developments in the world of sports yesterday. Flames victorious at home on a light night in the NHL. Their AHL affiliate, rough go. Fall in San Diego, 5-3. You had Husk on yesterday. How'd that go?
It was good. I really like chatting with him.
He's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
There's zero ego whatsoever,
yeah.
And that's not always the case with coaches, which isn't to say that, you know, ego's a bad thing, but
right.
Some's all right, but like none with Huska. Super down to earth. And the team hasn't been rolling of late, but we're tops in that division with like a week to go before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
A little rougher since. Any comments on prospects that we'd love to hear regurgitated? Standing out or performances that are surprising?
I asked him about, because it seems like Kulak and Wotherspoon are the only two that are really coming up from down there right now. And I asked, is there anyone else? And he said, probably not.
Those are the guys right now.
Yeah, those are the two guys of the Flames organization trust. Quite impressed with Andrew Mangiapane in year number one of his pro season.
Man. And look, I think some people have been talking about this for a while. Like, the market inefficiency is small-skilled forwards.
Oh, yeah.
They go way later than they should in the draft. You look at the Matthew Phillips kid they drafted. You look at the Adam Fox kid that they've drafted. You look at Mangiapane and where he was available. If scouts weren't allowed to see the size of players and can only look at the stats and the production and what leagues they were in, all these guys could have gone way higher.
Oh, totally.
Gaudreau was the same thing, too. He torched the USHL in Dubuque, I believe, in his first year. But always way too small. And he ends up being a fourth rounder. And then what does he do? He goes to college, and for 3 years at BC, rips apart Hockey East. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Oh, if Andrew Mangiapane was my size, he's a top 10 pick with the skill he has.
Yeah.
But
so clearly, you can prey on GMs overvaluing size in the draft, because if you look at the great, you know, Hail Marys the Flames have completed, it's not on 6'4" guys in the late rounds. It's all these diminutive guys. And I think Mangiapane's another in a long line. And I think you saw that reflected in this year's draft. Maybe it wasn't something they tried to do, but they found a lot of skilled smaller guys later, and like the Fox kid was unreal for the Americans in the gold medal game at World Juniors, 3 assists.
Yeah.
Mangiapane's not huge, but putting up huge points as a rookie in the A, you don't see that.
And now I wonder, I really don't think we see him in the NHL this year, but Michael Ferland didn't finish last night's game. Brower's already hurt. We may see someone. I don't think it's going to be Mangiapane by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, maybe it's Jankowski.
But, yeah. Jankowski might be the way I go. Maybe you give Klimchuk a look.
And you had alluded to, Klimchuk's been pretty solid this year with the offense. Mm-hmm. Last year, it was more of the shutdown role they had him in, I believe. But what do you do with, we've talked about it yesterday on 20 Questions, and I think a lot of people all year have been talking about it. Is Chiasson the fit on the right side with Gaudreau and Monahan? Because the way backline line's going, you're not going to touch that. That's going to be your top line or whatever you want to call it. It's been your best line all year. Can you give someone to Monahan and Gaudreau that would help that line get going? If you put Bennett there, you'd need a center. So maybe you can shuffle the cards a bit and you call up a center rather than a winger and move Bennett to the wing. If you keep Bennett at center, I don't know that they would bring up someone who's played center all year like Jankowski has down there. But they brought him up earlier and he just ate popcorn anyway. So maybe it's going to be Freddie Hamilton anyway. We don't know. As for what lies ahead, Devils tomorrow. They are playing tonight in Edmonton. That's a nice little run here for the Flames of two opponents in a row that were in Edmonton the night before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what San Jose would look like if it was their best lineup, i.e. Marty Jones in net, i.e. if they had a healthy Thomas Hertl, if they had 6D.
Yep.
And, of course, a minor piece, but the Schlemcat out with an injury as well. So
yeah, and
I wasn't unimpressed with San Jose for a team that lost in Calgary. That oh, boy, they don't look like division leaders. No, that wasn't the case. They looked like a team that had a really good chance to win last night. The Flames netminder makes two huge saves late to stop them from tying that. And they played the night before when their backup was in net. I was impressed with a lot of the things they did. Burns is just a force of nature.
Oh, that the first goal, because I like that slap, the slap pass that gets tipped in, that's a phenomenal read by him. And then we talked about it yesterday, his ability to just get the puck through to the net. That's all he needed to do on that goal.
Yeah, and he finds like an inch of space to get it through.
A puck-sized hole that could have gone through to get into the net, just where he put it.
Yeah, no question. 6:19, Warner in. We are in the process of ordering breakfast, so we'll expect moods to be on the upswing today. Love it. God bless an icy Deerfoot. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Back to Boomer and Warner in the Morning. Brought to you by Doug Lacey's Basement Systems. Eliminate the extra cost and discomfort of cold floors and rooms with a chill. Get your crawl space properly sealed and insulated. Text cold to 393939. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Giordano across the line. Hamilton with a long shot. He scores! Hamilton puts the puck right through Arundel with just 2:19 remaining in regulation time. The Flames have their first lead. It is 3-2.
Yeah, right through Dell indeed. Feel for the Airdrie kid. Played well to that point. In a tie game, though. Yoink. Oh, there it goes. Flames in front. And despite some tense moments late, a penalty shot and a breakaway each for the hat trick innate before Michael Bodker, it would finish a Flames victory. Good morning, Rhett.
Too fast.
Bodker, you can't stop him. You can only try to contain him.
He's going too fast on the breakaway. What's he trying to do?
On the breakaway or the penalty shot? Or both?
Or pardon me, the penalty shot.
Okay. Because he took it wide to the right, I thought, but I was at the wrong part of the ring.
He was going
speed.
Too fast.
Yeah, he went. I didn't get that. No, far be it from me. He's probably scored more penalty shot goals than I have. But I thought that was an interesting strategy of his. I thought, like, you see where it goes and everything. It's like, what
did you expect to happen?
Yeah, what was best case scenario here?
I think when you see a shooter look as bad as that, they were waiting for the goalie to make the first move, and he didn't.
No, he just went. He was nervous and went too fast.
Really? Eh?
Yes.
Huh. Johnson's been excellent on those. I can think of probably a half dozen. To 10.
Well, that one wasn't hard. You could have made it.
No, but my point is that he's not a guy that freaks out and drops to his knees and just covers as much net as he can. He's very patient on those.
Yeah.
I've been very impressed with the netminder. What did you think elsewhere last night, Rhett? You took in the game, I'm sure.
You know, it looked like the perfect road game for the Flames.
Huh.
The net, like,
survive
stick around,
first.
Stick around.
Yeah. Yep.
That's a good call.
And then they score late and win.
It was
special teams.
Yeah.
A wash. They both go 1-for-2, but you got the big power play goal when you needed it.
Yeah.
Special teams almost really hurt at the end with the potential shorthanded breakaway. But no, I thought it was like they hung around with San Jose long enough for San Jose to start to wear out a little bit. And minus Bodker getting behind the defense late, I thought San Jose did slow down a step or two toward the end of the game, as you would having just played the night before. And then Calgary was able to take advantage of it in the third.
Your chance of winning a hockey game dropped dramatically if you played the night before.
Yes.
That's just what the numbers say. That's not opinion. That's fact. And
yeah.
You go to Vegas, you look at odds. San Jose and Calgary, even rest in that same building, would have paid a lot more for a Calgary win. That's just the way it works. I don't know if you see that more in the third, or if a player, if you think about that at all, or you notice it at all, but the stats would show the second of back-to-backs, teams aren't as strong. You feel that as a player or no?
No.
Yeah.
You really don't. You go ask 10 guys, 5 of them would say, that. Yeah, I don't like the back-to-backs. 5 of them say, I feel better in the back-to-back.
And the funny thing is, you play it at every level coming up. In junior, we see the Hitmen twice this year play 5 games in 7 nights. The American League, they'll play Friday, Saturday, and then a Sunday afternoon, which is insane. Like, it's not as if, well, geez, we're the pros now. We're going to have to do some of these back-to-backs. No, you've been doing it your whole life.
It's not, yeah. And honestly, there were days, depending on the travel too, right? The old get in at 3 in the morning isn't the best. But when they're coming from Edmonton, big deal.
Yeah,
it's like going to the hotel.
Did you feel for the goalie? I wasn't disappointed in the Sharks given all that they had to deal with.
Which
five defensemen. Arundel with that late goal.
Oh, no. Yeah. Why would I feel for him?
Well, it's just he's a hometown guy. He's playing well, and then the stinker ends up being the winner.
It wasn't even... Yeah, it was just one that you... If you're in position, it just kind of found its way. Listen, if it was our goalie, yeah, I'd be probably ripping on him a little harder.
It was last year. Ooh, look out.
But he played well enough to win that game, too. So, I don't feel bad for him. Playing in the NHL, not much to feel bad for.
And for the Flames, it's 2 points against the division leader. You like that?
It makes up, to me, it kind of makes up for that Winnipeg loss in a game where, and you're not just going to win games, or you can't just win games against subpar teams or average teams.
You are going to lose to some of those, too, right?
You're going to have to mix in wins against good teams, and they, give them credit, they hung in there. And I don't know that they went out and dominated. It wasn't a, hey, we're going to take this no matter what. They just played a game where we're going to stick it out, stick to it, and at the end of the game, find a way. If it's overtime, whatever, but keep it close. And San Jose's a good team. Hey, like you watch them last night, you're like, oh yeah, that's why you guys are good.
They're going to ratchet that up a bit too. What they can do. There's a lot of pieces there.
There's a crispness to their game that isn't quite there with the Flames yet, right? Like there's the passes just seem a little bit crisper and quicker, and the speed is just a little bit quicker. It's just it felt like there was just a little extra that they have that we can see. Okay, the Flames hung with them and did a great job doing that, but now there's another level that you can get to as well.
Old Brent Burns can get her done.
Ooh. Yeah.
He's going to win the Norris this year.
I think so,
I don't think anyone's... I mean, Carlson's fantastic, but if he gets more points than Carlson, it's over. He's trending that way.
He's close to
Carlson. Four back of McDavid or something
like that? He's fourth in the league.
Are you kidding me? Leading the league in shots as a defenseman?
And we talked about it yesterday. Oh. Leading the league in shots. We're like, man, that's amazing. And you saw it again last night. That finds a way to the net.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just like... It wasn't anything special or amazing.
No.
It just gets there.
Yeah. And everyone brings up, like, we were talking about it yesterday, and someone on the text line was plus minus in the last couple, whatever. You look at them, I didn't notice any glaring weaknesses on the defensive side either.
Not that stood out to me.
No, he didn't get walked by anyone.
I noticed what it looks like to have a Norris Trophy caliber defenseman on your team.
Yeah.
It's a nice thing to have.
It helps, usually.
Yeah.
And it seemed like every time he looked up, he's on the ice again. There he is. It's one of those four or five guys that is going to play a ton and do everything for you. It's pretty cool.
Chewing up minutes left and right. I like that.
And that's especially big for them yesterday with the whole blunder with the lineup card situation where they only have five defensemen. He's out there just like, yeah, all right, I'll play 30 minutes instead of 25 tonight. No big deal.
Not a big deal.
No big deal at all. Where did he finish? Put you on the 26-49. Vlasic played nearly 28 minutes. Yeah, there's a little extra ice for the D.
Yeah.
For the Sharks. I measuring stick might be the wrong term for the game because I don't think you saw the best of San Jose, but it was good San Jose. It wasn't bad San Jose. But
that would be their average game. That would be a game that they play.
Aside from the fact that their backup hardly ever plays. That was the only thing. You didn't get Jones. And maybe that changes things. Maybe it doesn't.
A little.
But... Yeah. You're heading into Edmonton. I really feel like this Oilers, the next two Saturdays, a big couple games. This is the way you want to be playing heading into those games. You're not winning, 7-4 like Montreal did last night. Your special teams are strong. You're getting good goaltending. I think it's very clear who their number one is right now in net. This is a very different situation than when they saw Edmonton the first two games of the year. And maybe it's just me looking at these two Edmonton games, but there's a top three spot in the division up for grabs if you can get 3 or 4 points against Edmonton in these two games in the next 2 weeks and wash everything else out. I mean, they're 1 point back, are they not?
Yes.
One back. Edmonton's got a game in hand.
So you guys want to climb up the standings? Here it is. There's a team you got to beat.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's crazy to suggest that you could get better goaltending than Edmonton might in both of
those games. Well, and I don't think Edmonton...
They stack up nicely.
Edmonton's not playing great hockey. They were so good out of the game. They're the opposite of the
Flames. Look at their record. Minus, what, 7-1? Wasn't that their start?
Something like that, yeah.
It's not sparkling. It's pretty much a 500 hockey club since then, which, isn't shabby. But
no.
you have to remember that, beyond that, they've been good. And that's a huge upgrade on what we've seen for a decade there where they've missed the playoffs 10 years in a row. But this is your chance to make a statement. It's the last two times you play them. Maybe you see them in the playoffs. Maybe only one of you gets in. Maybe none of you. But I keep looking back to these two Edmonton games, and maybe I'm crazy, but I think it's going to be awesome.
I'm excited for it, and you're not crazy because you got to be ahead of them. Because neither one of you is guaranteed to be in the playoffs.
Right.
Like, it's not us or them. It might not be either, but it certainly won't be if you're below them.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee that. So get ahead of them, and I don't think they're playing great hockey. You owe them.
Yep.
You should have a little bit of a, we need to show you something here, fellas.
Yeah.
They've hit their quota for the number of breakaways they need to allow the owners all year. Those have all been done. I think they took care of that in the first 40 minutes in that opener. Holy, were they bad.
It was so ugly.
Yeah. Oh, poor Brian Elliott. So you go, welcome to Calgary. You normally used to, get 23 shots a night and maybe one breakaway a month?
But one of the things
they
can't do, as we mentioned it yesterday too, is look past jersey.
No, I agree.
Right? Already.
And the Oilers won't. They get them tonight, and it's Taylor Hall coming back. That's all everyone's going to be talking about.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's not something where I would expect the Oilers to have a trap game. And I don't know. We talk about those a lot. Flames haven't really fallen prey to that this year.
No,
very good at taking care of business where they need to.
They seem focused. They seem to be playing the way we thought they would play going into the season.
And
you can't overlook games like that, because as much fun as it is to look forward to Edmonton and look above the Flames in the standings, pretty snug behind them too.
Yeah, and you know, it's for fans and for
people
like us who are privileged to be able to, you know, wake up at an ungodly hour and talk about sports for a living and be home before breakfast or whatever, right? Like, this is what we talk about. In the locker room, I don't know how much, Edmonton, here we go. I'm sure there's business as usual. They'll know it's there. But don't be fooled. It's an office, right? Like, everyone's going to be focused on, okay, what does Jersey's power play look like? What are these line formations? Who's the goalie? What does he do? Looking for weaknesses, whatever it is.
It's a little, you'll get up for it a little more once it comes, but I don't know. You're right. They won't have, again, circled it on the calendar.
Yeah. Meanwhile, as a fan base, it's like everyone's going to know someone going up to Edmonton this weekend to watch, right?
Yeah.
It's the first Battle of Alberta game. This actually meant something. Post-Christmas. Are you kidding me? For how long? Here's one for you. On the fan feedback line, when was the last time, the ATB fan feedback line, 960-960?
2006.
The last time a Flames-Oilers game actually meant something. So we're talking late in the regular season, and maybe this one isn't there yet, but we're close. Playoff implications, both team in playoff spots. How long has it been? Because we've forgotten how good this rivalry can be. Even if it doesn't get back to the 80s heights, which I don't think will ever be reached.
That's
again.
Not going
to
be.
Where, you know, the restaurants would be messing with teams' food and stuff. I think we're beyond those days.
Yeah, I don't think
wake up calls at 3 a.m. for everyone.
I love that move. It's a great move.
Tough that's to do that these play. Days. Was it in 04? There was the people circled around one of the hotels in the playoffs and was given the old 30-car honk at 2-3 in the morning here.
Stuff happens. When we played Colorado in the final, the old fire alarm was off every couple hours.
Whoops.
Yeah. Oh.
Oops.
Yeah. What happened?
And so that's why you got swept, right?
No, they were really good.
Was that a bad final or what?
Aside from the last game, triple overtime.
Right.
For entertainment for people, it was
it just over.
Good. Well, they were good.
Yeah.
Remind us of that roster. Like when you look at it, but what do you remember?
Well, just it didn't matter where you turned. You're like, oh, he's, wait a minute, that guy? And then you go, oh, and who's in that?
Right.
Oh, Pat Roy.
Patty.
Yeah.
Great.
So is it Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer? Who's this guy? Oh, that guy's an all-star.
Yeah.
Oh, and this guy is... He's in a swallow song, going to win a cup this year with them. Okay.
Yeah, there was no...
Good luck to us.
There was no stop. And we'd beaten Pittsburgh, which was a good team too, full of Hall of Fame guys. But they didn't have that fire in the belly that...
That already won.
That Colorado was playing with.
6:37. Lots coming on today on the program, including Ask Rhett at 7:45.
So good.
We have to get a little tighter with the no hockey questions.
There has been a few slipping.
We've really gone lax. I don't know if it's our attention to detail, if we're just being too nice.
Well, I mean, that would be odd for us not to.
we're very giving people. We're kind. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think and when people ask hockey questions, we let you answer.
Attention to detail is always there.
It's through the roof.
Yep.
Yeah.
We'd never miss
when that. We're not here. We're working on the Canada arm. Yeah. NASA mm-hmm. uses in the Space Center. Yeah. Yeah. So
it's like, very exact.
Very detailed people. Detail oriented. That's how we describe the morning show. And on top of that, it's sincere in 2017. So we,
that's right. Always
we have
sincere.
To stick to our morals, which is we're not doing hockey questions on Ask Rhett. Also this morning, sports like picks. Very curious to see where the Rhettometer is at on some of these games this weekend. How you're feeling.
I might do some NFL.
You have to. I mean, you can mix in some other sports, but my goodness, we've only got, after this weekend, 3 football games left.
Oh, isn't that depressing?
4 this weekend and then 3 the rest of the way. Sad.
Jeez.
It's a big sad. So
don't know why you're overlooking the Pro Bowl like
that. Well, you shut your mouth, Klein. how dare you not respect the Senior Bowl?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, forgot about that. And of course, Jason Lockenfora after we make our picks, which again,
makes no sense. No, mm-hmm.
6:38. It is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Boomer and Warner in the morning continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Brought to you by Doug Lacey's Basement Systems. Eliminate the extra cost and discomfort of cold floors and rooms with a chill. Get your crawl space properly sealed and insulated. Text cold to 393939. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Ovechkin's going to call his own number. He scores! The goal! And 1,000 NHL points!
Just a little teaser of what's coming up in the Pinder Report with Peter Klein. It is 6:41. Ryan Pinder in for Dean Boomer Mulberg with Kleiner in. Rhett Warner is here. Flames victorious last night. And an entertaining night in the NHL last night. I don't know, did you happen to catch highlights elsewhere outside of the Flames San Jose?
I saw a few.
Paul Maurice, I thought, was going to explode.
Yeah, he was ready to, he was coming unglued.
Yeah.
rightfully so.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm not sure the squad was ready to play.
No?
At home.
Give up a touchdown to Montreal? You don't think they were all that into it?
There'd be a lot of Montreal fans there, too, making noise. It would have been an ugly scene.
Here's Paul post-game after he called a timeout just to absolutely lace into his bed. Do you have this in the Pinder Report, or should I?
I'll go for it.
If you do, I'll
nope.
Okay. Well, here's Paul, not happy.
Paul, what was your message during the timeout after the 5-2 goal?
I'm not sure I remember, to be honest with you. Not very happy with our, I don't know how, if we had had a shot, one shot, 10 minutes into the second period, but didn't like the way we were playing at all, didn't like the way we played the whole entire night.
How do you contain, not that there's damage here, but how do you contain a game like this for your team?
Well, you deal with it, you know, we're not sweeping this one under the rug. We're going to take a good look at all of it and make sure that we appreciate the value of playing in the National Hockey League and playing a game at home. The cost that every NHL game demands, a willingness to pay that price.
Whew. We all sit around this room and say, why aren't the Jets better? Imagine if it was your job to make sure the Jets were as good or better than they're supposed to be. There's some frustration there.
Oh, there's a huge frustration, isn't there?
We talked about it on the game day against Winnipeg. Boy, if they could get some goaltending, and what do they do that night? They get some goaltending, they look legit, and then that one.
Yes. That happened. Nice.
You can hear legitimate fear in the voice of the reporter.
Oh, yeah.
If I ask this, am I going to get...
So how do you... Not that there's anything wrong with it. Not that there's anything... But how do you contain this to just one game?
How about to contain it to less than 2 seasons? They haven't had good net mining for a while.
Yeah.
All net mining last night?
No, it's
didn't
clearly
sound
not.
Like
it's
it.
Clearly not. But no. Here's how Connor Hellebuck's night went. 14 minutes, 3 goals on 7 shots.
And that
then,
doesn't help.
Then old Michael Hutchinson comes in and allows 4 on 23. So I'm sure there's plenty of finger wagging pointing to go around. That's just one of the things that went down in the world of sports. Let us get back. We're actually ordering breakfast in the other room. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we can throw to the Pinder Report. Maybe we'll have to wait for a second.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Yeah. Elsewhere, Ovi was making news. Klein will get to that.
He's one of the few guys. Well, not one of the few. I'm happy for him.
You would have overlapped a couple of years with him. How many times did you play against him?
Not often.
Like two or three, maybe?
Yeah.
Remember anything or no?
I remember phoning Jay McKee saying, okay, what's this guy? He was good enough that I had to do some
pre-scout
background check. Yeah. Just phoning him saying, what's this guy's deal? And he's like, well, he always makes, is it into the middle? I forget. He always cuts into the middle. And
the outside, inside fire or the opposite, whatever it is.
Yeah.
What's his move? How do I stop it?
Yeah.
Hey, watch out for that one-timer thing he does. Yeah. It's pretty good.
Because very rarely does he take the puck and just drive wide around the defenseman, right?
No, there's a dangle in there, yeah.
It's always they get it to my forehand so I can shoot.
I think one of the things people forget is just how bloody big he is.
Oh,
like he's 240 pounds. Yeah. I think people think, oh, he's decent sized.
I think he's toned it down. I think he was told to tone it down. But when he came into the league, he was crushing guys.
Oh, yeah.
He'd go flying in there. It's like a freight train. Get out of the way.
So it's like, what happened if we would blend like a Timu Solani type sniper with an NFL linebacker? Like, that's pretty much what Ovechkin is, right?
Kablamo.
Yeah.
And he has toned it down, but every now and then he'll remind you that, I can still put you through the boards if I wanted
to. If your head's down, this is what I've got for you.
So with that and more, let's hand it over to Peter with the Pinder Report.
The Pinder Report for Motorworks, the only independent shop that works exclusively on BMWs with only BMW trained technicians. Google Motorworks Calgary or visit them just east of Chinook Mall.
Peter Klein.
Hello.
Talk to us about sports from last night in the world.
I will. Fun one at the Dome last night as the Calgary Flames were hosting the San Jose Sharks. That one got me. Tied at 2 with about 5 minutes to go in the third period.
Fan.
TJ Brody was called for hauling down Mikael Bodker. Kind of a weak penalty shot call, but it was a penalty shot nonetheless.
Mikael Bodker with 4 goals in 2 games, snapping a 28-game goalless streak. And here he comes trying to get the Sharks to the lead. Comes in wide right, cuts in, deeks, and he's stopped by Johnson. A terrific left-hand save on the penalty shot.
Probably as loud as the Dome was last night.
No.
On that save. I'll say that.
Aren't they not trying to give out more penalty shots?
It looked like it on that one because that was not a penalty
shot. It's a league
shot.
That needs scoring and wants scoring.
Yeah,
and
I'm
scoring.
Okay with it.
Like,
no one's sitting down thinking this is boring. I'm going to check my phone. No, this is
because they
the most
changed the
moments.
Rule where if you take the guy down on a breakaway, it's automatic penalty shot. Like, or the refs just said to hand out more. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. From a drama standpoint, it was phenomenal. From a like actual hockey standpoint, I jokingly said, "Oh, penalty shot," and then, "Oh, holy crap, it's actually a penalty shot."
Well, so the question is, did the player have a chance to make a play on that puck, and was the defender astride behind? Those are the qualifications. Are they not in terms of the criteria for a penalty shot versus a penalty?
Yeah.
And did he get his chance off? Like, yeah, kind of, but it was impeded. I think they don't call it enough. I think there's a lot of times you could call them and you don't, which, for as you alluded to, for a league that's so horny about adding more scoring, why not do more of these? It's like the rules are in the book. Just go ahead and use them. There's your more scoring. You don't need to talk about goalie equipment or nets. Just call the bloody game the way it's in the rule book.
I'm all for it.
And I was baffled. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's fine.
When Gaudreau gets hauled down on an empty net,
I don't know what that was.
That should be a goal.
Yeah.
That should be a goal, not a power play. That's a goal.
Mm-hmm.
I was baffled at how that didn't happen, and it was one of like three or four plays specifically with Gaudreau, and I'm like, why is there no call here, or why is the wrong call happening here?
Hate the refs.
Yeah. No, I just thought
Do you hate refs?
Well, it's Weidman's fault, clearly. It was a curious night with the whistles.
It was, a little bit,
Like, well, where's the call here? Like, this standard's weird tonight.
There was that big hit in the corner in the first period where it looked kind of...
Kachuk got crumpled from behind?
Yeah.
The numbers?
That could have been... something, hey?
Sold it a bit, but it's still on the numbers. Like, that's exactly the type of hit that
saw the numbers
video
for a while.
A ref has to watch, says this is not legal.
Yes. Now, we talked about adding scoring. There had to be a little bit more scoring in this game because it was tied at 2, still with 2 minutes left in the third.
Giordano across the line. Hamilton with a long shot. He scores! Dougie Hamilton puts the puck right through Arundel.
Matthew Tkachuk had the screen in front, but Dougie Hamilton gets credit for his 7th of the year. And then, as you mentioned, Johnny Gaudreau takes a penalty late in the third period. It's all good. Can just put this one away. No more drama to
out in front to Tkachuk, who turns into the far corner, stops, protects the puck from Burns, and now loses it. Vlasic, a breakaway pass to Bodker.
Oh, no.
Bodker in, stopped by Johnson with 7 seconds left. What a blocker save! A game game saver.
Whew. It's not wrong. It's at least a regulation win saver at a minimum. That would have been disaster. We would be crushing them. How in the world with 15 seconds left do you allow a clean breakaway when it's the only thing they can do to win the game?
What is this? Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, Hail Mary time. Seriously.
That was...
Kachuk was trying to make a play where he was going to eat the puck. And the defenseman didn't think he needed to eat the puck at that point, so the defenseman was standing still. And Bodker just decided, well, there's only one thing I can do to help.
See,
I'm leaving. If it happens, it happens.
And that's the play to make, because if you're hanging out in your own zone, you're not winning. The only way you could tie the game is somehow.
There's no... That's the reason it happened. Still shouldn't.
No, shouldn't have happened. And Glenn Gullitson would probably agree with you.
Oh, boy. Yeah, the last 10 seconds there, we fell asleep at the wheel. And nearly cost us. That can't happen.
The look on his face when he said, oh, boy.
Was, oh, boy.
Oh.
Let's hear oh, boy again. I like that.
Oh, boy.
Well, it wouldn't have been the end of the world. You can win it in overtime.
You can, but my goodness. Like, just try to get me into the
headspace. You're still on the power play, Pinder.
Going into overtime. Look, I'm not saying they would have lost the game. If you're on the ice with 15 seconds left, what's going on in your head with 15 seconds left? What's your only job you have on Earth? Don't let anyone get behind you.
Don't keep them in front of you.
What's the one thing they did?
They
from the blue line in.
It was very novice-esque.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you got to keep them in front of you.
Yeah. That's right.
No, they're not all up there.
Chad Johnson comes up with a big save. He says being familiar with Bodker helped him with those couple big saves late.
On the penalty shot, just tried to stay with him. I played with him in Phoenix. So I tried to go back in the memory log there and just try to remember what he did. But, I hit two kind of good looks there. But I got lucky and made the saves, which is nice.
Back in the old memory log.
The
Flames back at it Friday with the New Jersey Devils in town.
See... He's smarter than me then, because if I got a guy coming down on me, I'm not thinking about anything other than movie feet.
Yeah.
Well, he does have the time to think about with the penalty shot, because you got a little while collect yourself, all the players go to the bench, but that position, man, I can't imagine what a normal human would feel like in
my
that.
Pants.
Yeah. Oh, what's that running down my leg? Okay.
Three other games in the NHL last night, as previously discussed. Alex Ovechkin picks up points 1,000 and 1,001 as Washington beats Pittsburgh 5-2, the final score.
Second Ovi goal is a laser.
I kind of wish he'd have done the campfire.
Yeah, oh. The hot stick?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I kind of wish.
That was so bad.
But it's Ovi.
It's Ovi. Tacky works with Ovi. Have you seen his car commercials?
I love it.
Love Ovi.
Love Ovi.
The only regret is we haven't seen enough of him. Ditto with Crosby, especially because the first half of those guys' careers, there's even less interconference play. Like, at least you get these guys once a year now.
Yeah, remember that stupid...
You used to play them every other year.
Every other year.
And sometimes it'd be 3 years between visits. Like, it was not good for a while.
It was dumb.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Who decides these things? These are smart people.
People get paid a lot of money to decide them, too.
Then there's the Lynx. Old Hunter? Is that the cat's name in Edmonton? Someone decided to bring that up.
Listen, I don't know that we go to Edmonton for rational decision-making in hockey in the last 10 years. There's other places to start.
The Canadiens convert a touchdown against the Jets. 7-4, the final score. As mentioned, their coach wasn't totally stoked about what happened in that game either.
Maurice Hott? I don't know. I've seen a coach that physically disturbed.
No.
Like, is that not a guy that has to be fearing for his job at this point?
Would think. Like, I mean, he came in, he got him fired up into the playoffs, playing well, and now 2 years.
He should be good.
It's almost as if someone said that 20 questions yesterday. Anyway, the Panthers with a 2-1 win over the Islanders, thanks to 29 saves from Roberto Luongo.
You said some other things that weren't that smart. It kind of canceled that one out.
The Hitmen ended their road trip with an overtime win in Prince Albert.
Hey.
Yaroslav Yaryamenko scoring in overtime give Calgary the 5-4 win. Jordy Stoward scoring against the Hitmen one day after being a Hitman and then traded to Prince Albert.
Awkward.
Calgary opens a 4-game homestand against Prince George on Saturday.
PA on January 11th. I don't undervalue the caliber of that win.
In the minus 32 degree
That's a fun bus ride.
That's no wind chill.
PA at 28 degrees in July is one thing, but
that's a rough go. Some big news from the National Football League. It is expected that the San Diego Chargers will no longer be the San Diego Chargers. They are moving to Los Angeles. An announcement is expected as early as today, ending a 55-year stint in San Diego and returning to the homeland of Los Angeles.
Homeland?
Birthplace, Los Angeles. They were the LA Chargers first.
I did not know that.
Look it up.
55 years.
You didn't know that?
Rams, Raiders, Chargers as well, huh?
Yeah.
Everyone's moving to LA.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently they're going to play in some 30,000-seat stadium next year, which
CFL stadium.
Looks like a MLS pitch. Is this where Chivas USA used to play? I don't know. Here's the thing. If you're going
to
go there,
tickets, then.
If you're going to go to LA and you're going to play in that amazing new stadium that Kroenke's going to build for $2 billion, go sooner than later because the Rams are awful right now and you are competing directly with them.
Yeah.
If you can be better than the Rams early and you've been in Southern California and, as you stated and I didn't know, started in LA, you could be the more popular team of the two.
Mm-hmm.
No, I know the Rams are there, but they've been so bad, and it's not like people were going to St. Louis to follow them. People would come down from L.A. to San Diego to watch games regularly. You see them all the time down there. Now's the time to make the move, especially if you can be a better team on the field, because I don't know that two teams are going to be incredibly successful in that market. Be the one that's successful. Go early. Get the fans.
The Chargers received just 43% support in November on the team's $1.8 billion stadium and convention center annex that proposed raising the city's hotel tax to help fund the project.
And they didn't even need 50%. They needed two-thirds, so they were way off.
Yeah, no, they big swing and a miss. So that's expected to come down as early as today.
9 a.m. meeting this morning, Calgary time, in San Diego, and a lot of insiders expecting that will be the, clean out your offices. We're not here anymore.
No. The Denver Broncos set to introduce Vance Joseph as their new head coach today. He was the Dolphins D coordinator last year. And the Buffalo Bills have found their man.
Go Bills!
Sean McDermott, the new head coach, the 20th in team history. McDermott was the defensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers for the last six seasons.
How many bloody coaches have they had since you and I started working together?
They like to go through coaches. Because Mr. Whaley's very dialed in on...
That's the old GM there?
Hire coaches, yeah.
Maybe he's the guy that should
At some point, when you go through that many coaches, you wonder, maybe roster construction is a bit of an issue.
It's not the coach. Well, I'm not saying Rex Ryan was the guy, but it's the upper management that are the issue in Buffalo.
There's probably more than one issue. Yeah, there's lots of blame to go around. But you're right, with as many coaches as they've had?
No, it's... Anyone that follows a team and has a rooting interest, very clear, the people running it, aren't qualified.
Here's a good thought as well. Eight teams are left in the NFL.
Yep.
How many have had a head coach in place for a long time? Let's go through them. Seattle has had Pete Carroll for what feels like a decade now, like long time. Atlanta, they got a defensive coordinator from Seattle. It's his second year. That's a young head coach that's new there. That's the oddity this weekend. Bill O'Brien's been in Houston for a while. Patriots and Bill Belichick go back forever. Tomlin in Pittsburgh has been quite a while now.
Yep.
And they only had three coaches in like 50 years or something crazy because Cowher was there forever before that. Andy Reid in Kansas City, some tenure there. Green Bay with Mike McCarthy's been ages there. And Dallas, despite the sputtering, they've stuck with their man for a while as well. So just don't go thinking that because you change your coaches a lot, it's going to help. Look, it's continuity that matters in this sport more than many others.
You have to find the right guy to keep that continuity with, though.
Correct.
You can't just be consistently bad, too, right? Well, like there's a balance there.
If you're Cleveland, you do change and you are consistently bad. But yeah, I think the point being, find a good coach and keep them forever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, for sure.
What else have we got?
Nothing. That's the pin
report. I've got Jeannie's out in Australia. That's the sad news this morning. Woke up to that. All that good. Flames win. You know, we're one day away from
no Jeannie highlights.
We're getting back.
We're done with Jeannie highlights already.
The Finder Report for Motorworks, the only independent shop that works exclusively on BMWs with only BMW trained technicians. Google Motorworks Calgary or visit them just east of Chinook Mall.
I mean, they didn't kill her after the tournament. Like, she's going to play again.
Jeannie, we could use more Jeannie on TV.
We could use some Jeannie.
Jeannie's got a gun.
Let's talk about Jeannie. Her strong run at the Sydney International came to an end this morning. Well, you know, it's a day earlier there, right?
Are you watching video or just...
She lost to Johanna Konta.
Oh, that's a tough one.
I think maybe she sucks.
6'2", 6'2".
Is that possible?
It's possible she's not very good.
You know who's not very good is the girl she lost to, Joanna Konta, a Sydney-born British player. She was a surprise semifinalist at last year's Aussie Open and was seeded ninth in the tournament. Bouchard has been dog-ass since a breakout season in 2014.
So she's had two good tournaments.
Now, her sponsorship, on the other hand, doing very well.
Pinties.
Business is booming. All kinds of colognes and clothes and food.
Deadly
jewelry.
Hot.
I didn't even notice.
Really?
Sportsnet 960 The Fan.